Read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. This story appears immediately after Jesus feeds the 5,000. Then he made the disciples go into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was many furlongs distant from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately he spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, have no fear." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "O man of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. There are at least 140 people who called out, "Lord, save me," and were not saved in the Northeast. Their loved ones are bereft, and their lives are never the same. Not to mention the 7.5 million who called out similarly and lost, at the very least, their electricity for a while, and maybe their homes and their livelihood. And then there's all the rest of us who, in ways that we may never know, will shoulder the burden of $50 billion worth of rebuilding and repair after the superstorm. Well, that's just a thumbnail sketch of what the superstorm has done to us. And I've been thinking about that most of the week, as I suspect have you as well. And I've turned that around a little bit and began to ponder and think about not just what the storm has done to us, but what the storm might draw out of us. Because I think that's how we recover collectively after the superstorm that affects our entire country, or even individually when a storm of any sort, super or otherwise, hits us personally or in our families after the superstorm. The hurricane in the Northeast this week, at the very least, gave us some perspective. I, for one, was relieved that for 3 days the news media had something else to talk about other than the relentless, "He will do this, I will do that, the president in Ohio, Governor Romney in Colorado, and this is what they said about each other." I've had all of that I need. And I'm grateful in many ways I don't live in a swing state. But the storm brought some perspective. Yes, there will be an election. There will be a president-elect. And on January 20th, we will have a president. The same one or not, we will have a presidency. It took a storm to take the rancor of that off the front page. And that's a level of perspective for which I'm grateful. David Letterman, I think, had it about as right as anybody when they did a one of his film bits where he said, "Who are you going to vote for on Tuesday? You're going to vote for the Harvard-educated, moneyed, elite lawyer that sought to reform health care from Illinois? Or are you going to vote for the moneyed, elite, Harvard-educated lawyer who sought to reform health care from Massachusetts?" We lull ourselves to sleep thinking that one man, or maybe one day one woman, can change or fix things on all of our behalf. And yet the perspective drawn after the superstorm is that whoever occupies that office or sits in that chair needs us a whole lot more than we need him or her personally. That this is a chance for all of us to participate in far more than what we might expect one person to do in that office. And it is it's a delusion to think that we have no part in this. Governor Christie, for all of his political differences with the Obama administration, came together. And on Wednesday, whoever wins the election, we will have to do the same. A perspective drawn after the superstorm. I also think that anything like this, whether it's this hurricane or that wildfire or whatever it is, that puts people under stress and duress or costs them livelihood or even life, brings forth from us both compassion and courage. Compassion's an interesting emotion. It's an interesting concept. It's different than pity, in which we might say to ourselves or somebody else, my goodness, how awful it is in New Jersey today. What's for lunch? Sort of pity. Compassion takes it one step further and recognizes what we all know is true but don't think about very much and would often rather not like it in our faces, that this week's Northeast hurricane may well be next week's West Texas tornado. There is no predicting, and there is no reason that a disaster hits one place and not another other than random chance, and we are all subject to that random chance. That can scare us. It can also remind us, through the stories of immense courage, that we've seen people no different than you or I that come out of this disaster as it has come from every other that we can think of in our lifetime, whether it be Katrina or 9/11 or Pearl Harbor or anything in between. We are able to understand ourselves as people who may experience this. And we also are able to see and draw strength and courage from what others have done in lives that are no different from ours. I mean, in one sense, the heroism of those who work at New York University Medical Center, especially in the neonatal intensive care unit, literally breathing for and saving the lives of neonates coming downstairs. This is what they're trained to do, and they're very good at it, and did that based on their experience and training. But I saw another picture. This one's really silly. Somebody just like you or me, wading through waist-deep water and carrying on his back at the same time an Irish setter. Heroic in a different kind of way, illustrative of the human spirit, not just of compassion but courage, that made a decision. I mean, wading through waist-deep water in a flood zone where there are power lines down all over the place is dangerous and risky thing. It's a dangerous and risky thing to do. And yet the human spirit is capable of expending even that level of risk for an Irish setter. And we would have done the same thing. It struck me as courageous and builds in my own emotional makeup a sense of compassion and hope that I would do the same thing too, and so would you. Because next, I think what comes out of us after the superstorm is a spirit of generosity. Individually and collectively, we are, I think, more generous than we give ourselves credit for, not just in terms of the charitable donations we make or the time we give, but the ideas that come out. Story of an 11-year-old girl named Lucy in Hoboken, New Jersey this week, on whose block, for reasons that are just random, happened to have power. One of the very few in Hoboken where the power hadn't gone out. So what Lucy did was gather up all the extension cords in her house that she could find and power strips and all manners of whatnot and set up in front of her house what looked kind of like a lemonade stand but turned into a charging station where people could come and charge their cell phones and laptops and so on. And there was internet access that she was providing. An 11-year-old kid with a generous spirit. And asked for donations if people had them and took the donations. And when something was donated, she passed it along to the Red Cross. This is what we are capable of. And we learn this again, I think, after the superstorm. We are capable of bringing a more measured perspective to the things that seem to grab our attention. We're capable of compassion, which scares us because there isn't anything that could happen to someone that couldn't happen to us. But of good courage through the stories of those ordinary people who do extraordinary things that we would do in a heartbeat. through a generous spirit, strengthened by the one who comes to us in the midst of the storms. Now, that text I read a minute ago is often referred to as the story of Jesus walking on the water, or Jesus calming the storm. I think that misses much of what's at the true heart of that story. I think it's the story of Peter walking on the water, not for very long, and not for very successfully. But he sees Jesus doing this, and all he wants to do is be where Jesus is. He says, let me try that. And Jesus says, okay, try it. And he does. He exhibits extraordinary courage, fortitude, and or stupidity, clambers out over the boat, and then all of a sudden it hits him. I'm in the middle of a superstorm. Jesus hauls him out. I think what we have had the chance to learn after the superstorm, by finding what the storm can draw out of us, may give us an insight or two on what we have in us even when a superstorm is not threatening or hitting us. Why not bring that broader, more measured perspective every day instead of just in the aftermath of the storm? I told you a couple weeks ago, I have a list, people I can do without. You've all got lists like that too. High on my list of people I can do without was in Thailand when the tsunami hit a few years ago. And then it hit me. Yeah, I can do without him, but I'm glad I'm not doing without him because of the tsunami today. I can't do without him that bad. Much less the people in our own lives who love us. Nobody can hurt you like someone who loves you. And a more measured or broadened perspective of what any day might or might not bring, at least might any day have us end the day reminding each other of the love instead of the hurt. I think that's something that can happen to all of us every day, and in fact does. I think that there's a generosity of spirit, a level of compassion that we are aware of that ultimately makes us more tolerant. Because none of us can predict the convergence of time and circumstance. Anything that can happen to someone, even something that happens to someone because they were reckless and stupid, could happen to us because we have days where we're reckless and stupid. I think tolerance, generosity, compassion and courage, and a more measured perspective. These are the things which the next time we are in the eye of a superstorm, whether it be one that hits us and affects the entire panhandle or just happens to whack us upside the head in our own homes, I think in the eye of the superstorm, that's where we will find the hand of the one who reaches us and pulls us out of the drink and says, why on earth would you doubt? After the superstorm, let's hold on to each other. And when our hands on each other are slipping, look around for the hands of the one who is always there and will pull us out of the drink and see us through. Amen.